Hello again. It's the Oklahoma Today podcast, captured live on a series of zeros and ones at the Vault 405 in downtown Edmond. This week, we've got Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner.
Hi.
Megan Rossman.
Hello.
Carly Ibarra.
Howdy.
And me, Greg Elwell. As always, we like to start off by thanking the people who helped make this possible. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com. We are talking this week about winter. We recently had a pretty big cold snap, and I think everyone's starting to feel a little more in the holiday season.
Carly just did a little dance in her chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love winter.
Good. Well, and that's I think fall gets a lot of props. A lot of people are like, I love fall, and then winter comes and it's just like, when's it finally going to be warm again?
Winter came really quickly this year, and I missed the fall a little bit, but it looks like it's supposed to be in like the 60s next week, so.
Yeah, it's Oklahoma. Like, winter will come like three or four times before it's officially here.
Yeah, well, and even during winter, you can always count on some warm days.
I mean,
you know that you're going to have like a sunny, warm weekend or two.
Yeah.
I feel like it's usually like 80 degrees on Thanksgiving, so I'm looking forward to that.
There have been many Christmases when it was in the 70s, which is always a little weird because you're like, Merry Christmas, let's all go outside and have a picnic.
I do love my favorite thing about winter is coats. I like coats.
And we should note for our listeners that Megan is currently wearing an absolutely fabulous coat that is dark red with a black fur, faux fur collar.
Yes, that I think it gives me a rash on my neck.
Well, it's a great looking
anyway.
Coat.
It looks very good.
But coats really and sweaters and like the clothes are better in winter.
Yeah, any woman knows you have to suffer for a lot of things. including fashion.
I feel like winter is great for men because fashion truly says, like, let's cover up that lumpy potato you call a body.
Yeah.
Sweaters and hooded sweatshirts.
Layers.
And just, oh, so
I'm
many
not
layers.
Fat, I'm just layered.
Exactly. Yeah. And people don't need to know that there's only two clothing layers and then 17 layers that lead to my hot magma core.
If you haven't washed your hair for 2 weeks, there's also hats.
Hey. Feeling
so
a little
basically
judged.
What we're saying
are you
is
about
that
my hair?
We love winter because we're all kind of lazy.
It's a great season for laziness.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It feels so good to sleep.
That's right.
For the Danish word hygge.
Yes. There's nothing like waking up and it's cold. Like, you know, I love those mornings when it's like there's an ice storm I don't love those mornings, but when it's cold and frosty outside and you get to remain in your bed and not go anywhere
and nice.
Like maybe get up and eat a croissant and drink some tea.
Wear a bathrobe.
Stay at home.
I think for me it's you wake up, it's frosty cold outside and the temperature in your house has dropped a little bit, but you in that little cocoon of warmth in your bed. And you know that if you move too much, you don't want to even shift your shoulders. You don't want to like have a crack in that seal with the blanket and all of a sudden the cold air comes in. Or if it does, it's just a little shiver and then you kind of tuck yourself back in. That is Christmas for me. That is what I want. Forget gifts. Just give me that. That is what I really desire is one of those mornings where it's just like, I have to be. You have to be as still as if a T-Rex is hunting you. They sense movement, and you don't want to move in this bed and let any of that warm air out. Oh.
Yeah, if you have a dog who sleeps with you like I do, it's especially nice because Artemis likes to burrow under the covers and then she gets in between my legs. And so I've got the warmth of her, like, radiating. And I can't move because she's pinning my legs down. So I've got the comforter on top and Artemis and, oh, it's just wonderful.
paralysis. Basically, we all love that winter paralysis. So
we're, yeah. But also, because of what we do, we know that there are a lot of really cool travel, like, things to do. Like, it's not just a stay-at-home season. Like, personally, I love, we were talking about this yesterday, like, my favorite weather is when it's not windy, very sunny, and cold. Like, that's wonderful. And that's really good driving weather.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, things aren't green necessarily, but, like, it's just a really good day. Like, that's a really good day to take a really long drive to nowhere.
Cold, sunny days are the best.
Yes, they are.
I think one of my favorite places to visit this time of year is the Artesian in Sulphur.
Oh, yeah.
That place is great.
It's gorgeous year-round.
I love that area, Sulphur and Davis.
Yeah. When all the leaves have fallen off the trees, it's this really stark, beautiful sort of icy place. And again, as much as I love being in my own bed and trying to preserve all that heat, there's also something really nice about waking up in a hotel room those real heavy sheets and comforter just weighing you down. Yeah.
The Artesian has something especially awesome for winter, though, because they have that giant hot tub with, like, the color therapy.
Yes.
And it's like five hot tubs joined into one great big hot tub. And it, like, changes. It's got, like, the color-changing LEDs, and they do color therapy and stuff. It's really cool.
Ooh.
It's the Voltar of hot tubs.
Yeah.
Beaver's Bend. I can't remember if I talked about this last time I was on the podcast, but Beaver's Bend continues to be one of my favorite places to visit in the state. And this time of year, it is. I know we're past peak foliage, obviously, but it's still so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, like, the humidity down there really, I feel like, pays off in the fall because it's, you know, in the summer and the late spring, it can get a little sticky. But in the winter, you get that, like, convection fog over the lake and
beautiful.
And you can see so it better pretty. Because the trees aren't as full.
Yeah, and it's a great time. Yeah, if you like to do, you know, wildlife watching, winter is a great time to be doing it because you can, you know, you can see those birds. They're not hidden by those pesky leaves.
Yeah, and there's a lot of places. For example, I know that Lori, our photographer, and I were down at the state park by Poto, Lake Worcester.
Yeah,
took me a second. Lake Worcester, looking for bald eagles one winter.
Uh-huh.
And that was really fun. We stayed in the cabins there. And, like, Brian and I actually went and did that for Christmas, like the week between Christmas and New Year one year. Mm-hmm. We booked a cabin at Lake Worcester and stayed for, like, 3 days and, like, barely left the cabin.
Yeah, those cabins at Lake Worcester have beautiful views of the lake in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, just if you want to see some kind of spectacular winter sunrise. That's another thing I love about winter, actually, is I feel like the sunrises in the winter somehow are at their most dramatic. And I don't know if there's some kind of, meteorological explanation for that. But it's like the colors are more intense.
I think it's in contrast because everything else is sort of got muted. That bluish, palette. And so, the bright oranges and pinks and yellows just really pop against those. Yeah, and the other, I mean, the sky is a much, like, lighter shade of blue, whereas in the summer in Oklahoma we can get some of those just, like, crazy blue skies, and while that's another great contrast, it the sunrise does seem to kind of do even better against a blank sky.
And there's always the winter wheat, too. Like, when they plant the wheat, and it comes up and it's that really vibrant green. So you're driving and it's, like, brown, you know, like red dirt, and then all of a sudden it's just, wow, green. Like, I love that. That's just beautiful. But there's also some great places to go, especially as we're approaching the holidays. Like, there's some cool... Carly, you were talking about ice skating.
Mm-hmm.
How you always, like, you grew up ice skating.
I have very fond memories, especially of birthday parties, whenever I was younger, of going to Arctic Edge Ice Arena in Edmond. And one of the reasons that I love that place is because their ice skating shoes are... They look more like ski boots than the typical shoes where you, like, tie up the laces. It has, like, straps on it and everything, and your ankles are, like, really supported. So if you've never been ice skating before, that is a great place to try it out.
So like, what are the, like, this is, because I've never been ice skating, but I, so like, what, how is it different than like roller skating?
I mean, you have a, just like one thin blade of metal underneath your, your foot.
It seems like it would be like impossible to balance on that.
That's... It's, I mean, it's not. You kind of use momentum and you're, you, it takes a lot of ankle strength. So your ankles tend to be very, very tired after you're done. But again, the ski boots, they have the support all the way up basically to mid-calf. So those are nice. The shoes that people typically wear that just look like a shoe with a blade on the top, on the bottom of it, those are a lot harder to, to use, I think.
I just found out actually that the Blazers Ice Center on I-35 right south of I-240 in Oklahoma City offers figure skating lessons.
Oh, that's cool.
That was interesting.
Yeah, that is cool.
But there's also places if you're not trying to, you know, become a figure skater.
Well, and especially in the winter, we have a lot of outdoor ice skating rinks that open up. The big one locally is the Devon Ice Rink. I think that a lot of people...
Here in downtown Oklahoma City.
Absolutely. And that's open February the 2nd of next year. But also Broken Arrow has the Rose District Ice Rink that's going to be open through January 5th.
And the Rose District is great. It's such a cool part of Broken Arrow.
The Edmond Outdoor Ice Rink through January 5th. Paul's Valley has an ice skating rink also through – a lot of these through January 5th. That must be a popular weekend to wrap things up on. Christmas in the Ville in Bartlesville has an outdoor ice skating rink. West Bend Winterland in Claremore. Theirs actually shuts down December 22nd. And Kingfisher Winter Nights shuts down December 24th. And then in Tulsa, they have Winterfest, and that goes through January 5th as well. But really, almost you know, anywhere across the state, there's a lot of these winter festivals that are popping up, and it's shopping, and it's sometimes it's a street fair, and just, you know, you kind of get out, you see other people, and it's nice to see everybody bundled up against the cold and drinking hot chocolate, and then there's something really fun about those outdoor ice skating rinks. And I'm terrible. I fall. I've been ice skating a few times and I fall down like crazy. And you know, it's the same thing with if I'm roller skating, I kind of stick to the wall a little bit. And if I'm if I get you know, my courage up a little, I might push out and kind of glide a little bit. But yeah, it's all a learning thing, and it's just a fun, different experience.
Oh, inner tubing. They're going to have the inner tubing thing downtown, which is, I used to love inner tubing as a kid.
Doesn't it require any balance?
That's true. That's nice. That's good throw yourself in like a, in a rubber donut or whatever you have available. Like, I mean, we would go, there's someone who, I feel like we went down in garbage bags one time. I mean, like, whatever we could find that, you know, we
Trash can lids, anything
we could slide on, we would do it. Although, I feel like it doesn't snow as much as, I don't know.
No, but they do it at Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark. They, like, create the snow hill.
And I am actually going to that this year.
Oh, fun.
Because Lori is going to photograph my nephews. And so I'm like, well, maybe I'll slide down this hill.
It's so much
that'll
fun.
Be fun.
You really should.
I haven't been to it before, so I'm probably not going to ice skate. But
I probably won't either. I'm too scared of falling.
Yeah.
I'm getting, you know, I'm getting up.
But,
I'm getting to the age where
I love
break
inner
a bone,
tubing. Like that's how I got my first black eye, falling out of an inner tube and hitting my face on a rock.
That's a good honorable way to get a the first black eye of childhood. The other thing, the thing I'm looking forward to, I was talking to my mom on the phone the other day, and we were talking about, you know, like we always draw names in our family because it's like we're all grown people. Like there's nothing we need. You know, like we don't need to buy each other gifts because it's just like it's just kind of stuff. And really, like we want to get stuff for the kids and that's more fun. You know, it's more fun for them. So like we just the adults, we just draw a name and like there's like a $100 limit. And like you can only like that's what everybody's getting. But we do stocking stuffers. And my mom was like, I want to go because she just retired. So she's got all this free time now. Hi, Mom. And she's listening. But I, it was so much fun because she was like, I want to go with you to go shopping for the stocking stuffers this year because they're always the most fun things to buy, right? Like the little things. We always just have some, like, we always try to find like the funniest or like craziest things that, like, my husband a couple years ago got my mom an inflatable turkey. Like, that's funny. Yeah. So she always puts that out with Thanksgiving dinner. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that because there's so many great places, especially for like little trinkets and tchotchkes, mm-hmm. like so many great stores all over the state where you can find that kind of stuff.
Well, and they're just opening up those shops there in Midtown.
Midtown, Oklahoma City, the pop-up shops.
The pop-up shops. And I think they're also going to do that down near Devon. They have another series of pop-up shops.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they're doing that on the Guthrie Green as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, good. And we should also mention, since you can do this right now, listeners, if you get our November-December issue, it's the Tulsa issue, and you do five things on the Tulsa scavenger hunt. There's a story in there called the Tulsa scavenger hunt. Do five of them. Tag us on Instagram with hashtag OKTTulsa, and you can get a 10% off coupon, among other cool goodies. One of the things is you can get a 10% off coupon at Buck Adams Cosmic Curios on 66.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have great things. They have just such awesome Oklahoma swag. And you can get 10% off. So go do that. But yeah, there's just like Blue 7 in Oklahoma City, Dwelling Spaces in Tulsa, DNA galleries, yeah. like everywhere in the plaza. It's so much fun.
I love the spice shop that's on Western.
Oh, that place is
Savory
great.
Savory Spice Shop.
That's a good place. I love the Museum of Osteology for presents. Like,
yes,
if you want
to, cool
they
shop.
Have some kind of offbeat things. And the Oklahoma City Museum of Art has an amazing gift shop.
Ida Red, also in Tulsa.
Ida Red in Tulsa
is a great
There's two locations. Uh-huh. There's one in Brookside and one in the Arts District.
Oh, the Museum of the Red River in Idabel. If you're down there,
yes.
that is an amazing gift shop.
Yeah. They have fossils and little glass dinosaurs. And
I know. I got my nephew's
so
whole Christmas there
priced.
Last year. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's such a cool gift shop. So
yeah.
if you're headed
down
to Southeastern
museum,
Oklahoma.
And a cool museum. So, yeah.
Very cool. Just reopened with a brand new redesign. And, that's one of the best museums in the state. I hope more people will go there. But yeah, that's the like museum gift shops, especially for me.
Yeah,
like,
I love
I'm going to max
gift
out
shops.
A credit card.
Yeah.
yeah. But Philbrook has a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City Museum of Art has a great one.
Cowboy Hall of Fame.
National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum, which now sells Oklahoma Today in its gift shop.
No.
So if you're in there shopping
that is
for
a great,
things.
That is a great gift shop.
They have such cool stuff.
Lots and lots
I
of
know.
Cool
and it's
and
it's a big gift shop, too.
Yeah, it is.
And also the travel information centers.
Oh, the
yes.
great
the ticks.
Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, when you're driving over state lines, there's the little, you know, like Oklahoma information centers. They have great, you can stop in there and they have like coffee and brochures, but they also have things you can buy. There's one in the basement of the Capitol that's just been redesigned and renovated. They have awesome stuff.
It's lovely down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, and they always do specials for Black Friday.
And, I was going to say, if you watch Discover Oklahoma, they're going to put up a deal, and I don't remember what the deal is, but they're going to have a Black Friday deal, and they sell out. Like, the stuff there is so cool. So watch Discover Oklahoma, get your deal, and go to the Ticks for sure.
Keep an eye on stuff happening at Mother Road Market in Tulsa as well. They've got lots of little, they've got a little mini Decapolis in there, but some other really fun shops. And then on December 13th, they're doing the Cherry on Top pop-up at Mother Road, and it's got like handmade ornaments and things like that. So, you know, some nice keepsakes. And it's always interesting to me. I never, as a kid, I always was very upset when I got an ornament as a present. I was like, yes. A present that I can use today and then not again for 11 and a half months.
Right, yeah. If you're going to get someone an ornament, you should give it to them earlier, like at Halloween.
Yeah, well, or just like it's, I don't know. I think it's part of like it when you're decorating the tree. Like that's a good time for it.
Yeah.
I take those ornaments, like if it's a really cool ornament, I just hang it on things year round.
Me
like,
too.
That's nice.
I'll display it on things.
Unconstrained by holiday.
Yeah.
Yes,
you might be able to use it as a keychain if it's not breakable.
Yeah. Or I just hang it off of something in my house so that I can look at it whenever I want. Like, I'm not going to let Christmas rules stop me.
That's a good idea because we always get an ornament anytime we go anywhere, right? Like if we travel somewhere, we always like, even if it's like in April or May, we try to get it. Like if somewhere we haven't been or somewhere we haven't gone have an ornament, we try to get an ornament. So like this year we went to D.C. for a few days and I got an ornament from the African American Museum. But it's like come home from the trip and put it in the closet with the other Christmas ornaments. I should have just left it out all year.
Yeah.
You can still take it out.
I could.
You have time.
Yeah. I think Brian would panic. He'd think I was trying to put up the Christmas decorations in mid-November.
I always get so excited. I know people complain about Christmas ornament, you know, all the Christmas stuff that goes up after, you know, right after Halloween sometimes before. Yeah. But I am always like, ooh, let's go. You can find some weird things at Walmart, which I did. I found a big owl tree topper that it just sort of looks like a little bucket or something with, like, you know, owl eyes on it, which... Yeah, no, but I just love, like, places, you know, like Michael's and Hobby Lobby and all those stores mm-hmm. that just have, you know, that specialize in that decor.
Yeah. I mean, the best of them all.
I love to go look through those Christmas ornaments because you can find some weird, wonderful things.
Yes, you can. But my favorite is North Pole City.
Oh, yeah, yeah. North
so
Pole City.
So much fun.
North Pole City makes me feel like I'm going to have a seizure, but
I know,
I love it.
It's so enjoyable.
But it would be a very festive seizure.
Yeah.
Well, the last time I went to North Pole City was for an assignment for Oklahoma Today, and I texted Megan and Steffi, our then editor-in-chief, and was like, oh, please come help me.
Yeah. We actually published a screenshot of that text in the magazine, yeah, because it was so funny.
Yeah, we had to go down to North Pole City because Carly got there and was just, if you've ever been in North Pole City, it is...
If I remember correctly, my instructions were go find some cool stuff.
It's like,
and I got there and was like, there is all the cool stuff.
Yeah. It reminds me of like a Meow Wolf. It's an immersive, like, it's an immersive experience mm-hmm. to go into North Pole City. It feels like you are in some other world.
Speaking of which, my friend Dan Short is the Santa at North Pole City. Like, he's their Santa, and he has just released a book called The Santa Claus Chronicles, where he reached out to other Santas all over the country and got them to, like, tell their best, like, being Santa stories. So if you're looking for just a really great Christmas read, it's out now. The Santa Claus Chronicles is what it's called, but he's great.
So I bet that's somehow more festive than my usual Christmas read, which is David Sedaris's The Santaland Diaries.
No, I always do that. Okay, so that's what I was thinking about that earlier. So we've kind of gotten in this tradition. My grandma lives in Prague, and she can't get around very well, so we always try to, like, do festive things for her for Christmas. And one thing we've kind of started doing is we go get her, and then we drive her from Prague to Chickasha to look at the lights, and the first time we ever did it, I put on the Santaland Diaries in the car, and my mom was like, what are you doing? Because she knew it, you know, she was like, yeah. What are you doing? This isn't exactly grandma appropriate, and I was like, oh, she's fine, and she thought it was hilarious.
Oh, it is hilarious.
Like the part where the person's like, I'm going to have you fired, and he goes, I'm going to have you killed. Like, she thought that was hilarious, so it's become kind of a holiday tradition for us to go to Chickasha and listen to the Santaland Diaries on the trip.
Anybody who's worked in a retail environment during Christmas, which I think as a lot of people,
I think you would
relate to that story.
Yeah. You're not allowed to go Black Friday shopping until you have worked a holiday in a retail.
You've worked a Black Friday at a cash register. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and just the way that people can sometimes, the franticness that surrounds, you know, I'm like...
Yeah. The good thing was...
I stay home now.
Yeah, no, I do too. I call it Don't Leave the House Friday.
Yeah.
We put up our Christmas lights that day.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah,
I
always put up my tree the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's been
after
the tradition.
day after Christmas. I'm
a rebel.
She's not going to let Christmas tell her how and how not to decorate.
Right, dang it.
I do things on my own time. No, yeah, I put it up the day after Thanksgiving, and that's always a lot of fun because I love Christmas trees. I love my Christmas tree, and I often keep that tree up through, you know, February, and I just don't want to take it down. It's a really it's a nice light source, and it's pretty, and I just like having it there.
Yeah, I bet your cat likes it, because cats tend to like Christmas. Like, that gives him something to hide behind.
Yeah, I don't think he really cares one way or another.
I'm always struck by, like, when you take it down, how, like, empty the room feels when it's gone. Yeah. You're like, oh, sad room.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah, no. It's just, it's fun. And now I have a white one, which I've always wanted a white.
Ooh, those are lovely.
The white Christmas tree with the, you know, with the multicolored lights. It's so pretty. It's everything I've all, you know. And ornaments show up a lot better on the white tree.
They do.
So
they really do.
I have strong feelings about Christmas trees.
We have 5 of them in our house.
Oh, boy.
In our 1,200 square foot house, there are 5.
That's
because there's the main. There's
you
the
really
one,
like Christmas trees too.
There's one in the dining room, one on the back porch because the back porch is glassed in. There's 2 on the front porch. that are exterior decorations, and then Brian has one in his office. That's his little Charlie Brown tree. So there's five. I know it's a little nuts, but you know we love Christmas.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
One thing that we wanted to talk about a little bit, and one reason I'm very happy Megan is here is we were going to share a couple of recipes with you guys for some of our favorite holiday treats.
Yes.
I actually reached out to Katie Bugs, which is a shaved ice and hot chocolate.
Food truck.
Well, not anymore. They're on 9th Street.
They have a store now.
They're over where Pachinko Parlor and that stuff had been in the past. And so I just said, you know, what in your mind makes for a really great cup of hot chocolate? And they sent me this. To us, the most important things would be high quality ingredients and balance. They say, you know, it's not just store-bought chocolate syrup and milk like a lot of coffee shops. They have gone through like 60 different types of chocolate and cocoa, trying to find the right balance with not too sweet, not too bitter, not too grainy, something that stays very smooth. So, chocolate is a lot like coffee. They said we ran into so many that were really fruity, not smooth enough, a little bitter, way too sweet. We strive for the perfect balance of that gourmet hot chocolate taste, but we also wanted it to still appeal to the masses. And we landed on a hot chocolate that's terrific by itself, but is also enhanced by our homemade marshmallows, which I absolutely love. If you haven't been by Katie Bugs, those homemade marshmallows will really blow you away. But I love hot chocolate. Like, there's nothing like it's such a weird thing at the end of the day to just be like, I've had a rough day, and rather than like turn to whatever alcohol, it's like, and now for a cup of sweetness, you know,
which
like
can
warm
contain
sweetness.
Alcohol. At our Christmas party, we make white hot chocolate and it has Grand Marnier in it.
Oh, okay,
yeah, it's really good.
Well, you had said that there's a recipe that your family has used. I don't know that it's
it's real easy. You take a saucepan, you take a tablespoon of baking chocolate. Cocoa powder. Thank you.
Okay.
And then you take 2 tablespoons of sugar and you add a little bit of water and turn it on, I don't know, like medium high. I'll let it bubble, and as soon as it turns into liquid, then you pour. I just take like a coffee mug and fill it with milk, and then pour that into the pan and let that heat up. And then I also add a little, you know, as much vanilla as you want. And then you let that get hot, pour it in your mug, and add some marshmallows or some booze or whatever you want to add. But I'm telling you that it is great hot chocolate. I think. Part of the appeal is that it's not a powdered mix that you mix with water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
it. It needs milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah. Hot chocolate needs to be made with milk.
And, like, whole milk.
And I've seen it in a lot of cases, a mixture of, like, there's water in the mixture, but that is not the only liquid. And finishing off with milk, or in some cases even heavy cream, can just, it brings in so much richness. And the, I know you guys hate this word, but mouthfeel. Like it there's a way that it just sort of coats your mouth when you're drinking it with a milk based, a dairy based hot chocolate versus one that's, you know, a Swiss Miss packet with water.
Yeah. Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with
those. Which is satisfying in its own way.
Yeah.
You could probably try it with like almond milk or soy milk or some alternative milk would probably be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to learn this year, because it's such a holiday staple, I want to learn how to make hot buttered rum.
Ooh,
right? Because it's so sad. Or like mulled wine.
I tried.
Mulled wine smells so good.
It does.
Hot toddies.
Man, yes. I tried making mulled wine last year. I bought like a mulled spice kit from Savory Spice. And I mean, what I did was I just took the spices and threw them in the wine and boiled it. Or I don't know if I even boiled it. I think I just heated it up and then like strained it. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. It wasn't the spices' fault. It was just, it was so, it was so sweet. I forget what kind of, I think maybe I did follow a recipe, because I think I added sugar. I don't know, it was a disaster. So I love the idea of mulled wine, like spicy, you know, warm, hot wine. It reminds me of like in church, growing up in church, that was with communion, we had hot wine. And I loved communion as a child because I got to drink hot wine. And I still, like, anytime, you know, the mulling wine, it reminds me of, like, communion or something.
Every time you talk about church growing up, it makes me wish I was Russian Orthodox.
I mean, it's fun. It's very, you know, it's very decorative, and it's old world. It's old world style church. It's what do they call high church? You know, think is the term.
Cause liturgical,
it's, it has its roots in Catholicism, so it's very ornate, and there's a lot of ritual, and it's very beautiful, and you have to stand a lot. Or at my church, we had to stand a lot. Yeah.
For years and years, Brian Chambers, who we had on the show 2 weeks ago, he and I would go on to Midnight Mass at St. Paul's in downtown Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah, I love Midnight Mass.
Yeah, we'd go on Christmas Eve every year.
It's a fun thing to do. Like, you know, just go and you listen to people sing, and it's fun.
Yeah, there's a lot, and there's, you know, that you can find that kind of stuff all over the state.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
Yeah,
Speaking
of fun things to do, well, first of all, if you would like Megan's the old Rossmann family recipe for hot chocolate, and also I believe Nathan is going to put up his coconut cream pie
recipe. I've got my great grandmother's coconut cream pie recipe. Although I'll put the meringue part online. We'll put it online. We'll put it on the website. But if you recall our conversation with the pie junkie ladies here recently, it is okay if you don't want to mess with meringue.
It's fine to use whipped
cream. They have freed me to no longer.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
Carly just raised her arms in triumph.
So intimidated.
Yeah. It's like you just stopped sweating somehow.
I know.
Like you visibly stopped sweating. That's so weird.
And to be honest, I prefer the taste of whipped cream over meringue anyway.
This has been the discussion.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. You will need Milnot, which I'll let you discover on your own what Milnot is.
I feel like any pie would be better if you swapped meringue for cream.
This appears, I think meringue is like it because it's so hard. Like, if you can, like, I will say, like, when I've done it well, I have felt an extreme sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was very short lived because then I'm like,
but then you have to eat it.
Then you have to eat meringue. I know. If anyone disagrees, feel free to send us an email.
But you can check oklahomatoday.com. We're going to have a post up with some recipes for you guys. And we'll try and fill that out and kind of keep adding some things to that as the holiday season goes on. But we also need to talk about events this week.
Yeah.
November 19th, Twisted Spike Brewery in Oklahoma City presents Charity Pint and Paint Night, raising money for TECHO. I don't know if that's Techo or Techo, but it is a whatever it's called, it's a very worthy Latin American nonprofit that helps fight extreme poverty. It's a good night for beer, creativity, and helping out. Tickets are $40. Visit twistedspike.com for more info.
That's cool. And November 20th. So here at Oklahoma Today, we have a Dirty Santa that we do where we are only allowed to gift free or found items. It sounds like we could use a visit to Tahlequah, though, for Kathy Tibbetts' assemblage class, which uses found objects to create artsy collages. Oh, that sounds like fun. Admission is $20. Visit facebook.com/Tahlequah Creates for more info. And again, that is November 20th.
Mm-hmm. And then on November 21st, Putting the Deli in Psychedelic, Austin-based jam band Kudu Crew joins locals Electric Okie Test at Norman Venue The Deli. Tickets to this 21 and older event are $7. Head to thedeli.us for more.
So you're going to be hearing us talk a lot about the McKnight Center because they have, in Stillwater, they have a lot of really cool events coming up. But on November 22nd and 23rd, there's Cirque Mechanics and their show 42 Feet, A Menagerie of Mechanical Marvels, where strongmen, acrobats, aerialists, and others perform to an entirely original score. That sounds pretty cool. Tickets are $25 to $95, and you can get more info at McKnightCenter.org.
McKnight Center's great. It just opened new on the OSU campus there in Stillwater.
On November 23rd, the Holiday Stroll comes to Main Street Duncan. Stroll from shop to shop, enjoy drinks and snacks along the city sidewalks. Santa is also set to make an appearance in case you're not sure what to get any children in your life, or if, like my girlfriend, you are deathly afraid of Santa Claus and you just need to know where he is at all times to avoid him. It is a free event, and you can visit facebook.com/Main Street Duncan for more.
I just say, too, that Duncan has an awesome Main Street.
Yeah.
Like, there, it's one of the best Main Street, like, downtown, small town, downtown areas in
and
the state.
And this is, these sort of holiday events are going to pop up all over the state. I mean, just, you know, check your local listings. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a fantastic town. Christmas in the Park is November 23rd and 24th in Yukon. This is Yukon's drive-through light show there in Yukon City Park. This is awesome. Like, this is so cool. This is the one you can see from I-40 when you're going west. The three-mile stretch of holiday spirit actually contains three interconnected parks, 4.5 million lights, and more than 500 different lighted displays. This is completely free. Go see it. YukonOK.gov has more info.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for tuning in again on your old-fashioned radio dials. In your sod houses out on the prairie, and for downloading this podcast on your smartphone, supercomputer that you keep in your pocket. Please do subscribe. Tell your friends that you listen to it. And when they say, I've never heard of that, you grab them by the collar and you say, you're going to listen. Rate and review us online. Send any questions or comments to OKTPod@travelok.com. Please visit OklahomaToday.com/subscribe and make sure you don't miss a single issue of our magazine.
Also, since we're talking about the holidays, subscriptions make excellent gifts.
Wonderful gifts.
And we have an awesome gift subscription rate. It's very exciting. And a Cyber Monday deal coming up. So keep your eyes open for that as well.
We are currently, we're actually taking a break from a deadline right now. We're on working on the Oklahoma City issue, and I think you guys are going to love it.
It's going to be cool.
It's going to be really great. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.